In his new book, Workplace Discipleship 101, Dr. David Gill focuses on how followers of Christ can make a difference in the workplace. Gill says, in the face of massive problems, there are always opportunities. These opportunities require the right responses, and according to Gill, we live at a time when we are overloaded with information, but lacking in wisdom to know what's true or how best to respond. Stay tuned for my conversation with Dr. David Gill next on Soaring Eagle Radio.
And now, here's Dr. Mike.
My friends, thank you for joining me today for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. My guest today is Dr. David Gill. He has served as a seminary and business school professor of ethics for more than 40 years. He is a pioneer and leader in the faith in work movement and the author of 9 books. David is an ordained minister, has served as a pastor as well as an organizational ethics consultant for several companies. David leads Workplace 313, a workplace discipleship resource and training center. And friends, that website is www.wp313.org. Again, wp313.org. David, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Mike.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed your book. I found it to be very helpful in particularly in explaining the theology of workplace discipleship. Now, I know there are a lot of resources out there, and not as many resources as in some other subjects, but workplace discipleship, the theology of it was very good as I read through that. It's rooted in the Christian faith and the expression of that faith in every context of living. Now, David, in the preface of your book, you begin by distinguishing the difference between the workplace and the marketplace. As an introduction to our listeners today and to our conversation, would you please explain the difference between the two and why that's important to know?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Well, you know, For actually 40 or 50 years, there has been a growing movement among believers, among Christians, of trying to understand what does our Christian faith mean when we go to work, not just when we go to church or when we're at home or in our personal lives, but what does it mean when we go to work? And some of that literature started using phrases like marketplace Christianity and, you know, a Christian faith in the marketplace. And so there's a fair amount of literature with titles like that. But my feeling was that when you use the term marketplace, it really puts the focus on buying and selling and trading. You know, market, that's what happens in markets, is buying and selling and trading. And I think we should put the focus on the process of work, whether there's any exchange or buying and selling or not. Because I think, for example, one of the most important kinds of work is raising our kids. But we also do volunteer work, and it's really not about the money. The money's important. You know, we need to make some money to pay our bills and be generous. But but all of us at every stage of life need to find some way of working that is exerting ourselves in order to provide some service to others or produce some product, you know. So that's why I'd like to put the focus on work. Yes. We say, you know, God is a workplace God. God is somebody who, you know, in the creation account, God works for 6 days and rests for the seventh. And he made us in his image. And the commandment says, too, respect the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. But also, it is the second part of it. You shall work 6 days.
Yes.
So that's what it's all about.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. David, I'm sure that some of the people who have joined us today for this conversation have found it difficult to practice a kind of workplace discipleship that we're going to be talking about, and that's primarily due to their company policy, which seems to prohibit what some companies define as proselytizing, which that's not really what we're doing. But whether companies use that term or not, that's really irrelevant. But there are some challenges people face today when they attempt to be a workplace disciple. Could you just name some of those? And I know they'll resonate with people, and then explain how we can overcome those.
Yeah, well, Mike, you know, I think that probably the first thing that occurs to us when we talk about workplace discipleship is evangelism. You know, we think if we just wait to share the gospel with people who walk into our churches, or these days who tune into our Zoom services, if we just wait for that, you know, in a church of 500 people, you might have 20 visitors on a given Sunday, or I don't know, maybe there's a few others who are coming up who don't know the Lord yet, you know. But when you think about the fact that when those 500 church members go out into the world on Monday, each of us has like 5 or 10 significant contacts. And so the field for sharing the gospel is 5,000 people now instead of 20. Yes. And so it makes a lot of sense to say, let's figure out how to share our faith at work. But the problem is, as you say, a lot of companies would say it's not allowed for you to proselytize or really to take time away from your work to be trying to convert people to your faith. So, you know, I understand that, and I think we need to respect our company policies as far as that goes, at least, you know, up to a point we do. Yeah. We can't stop ourselves from sharing the faith. But in one chapter in my book, I do talk about sharing our faith, and I give 5 different strategies, you know, that I've used or that I've and that I've seen other people use. And they basically boil down to this: lead people to ask you about your faith.
Yes.
And so you do that by being such a caring colleague when you see them come into work down or you reach out to them and find out, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I'm not a counselor, but I can be a caring colleague. You know, you want to have coffee and talk about what's going on. I mean, it varies from person to person and situation to situation how we do that. And we all have different personalities. But I think showing care to our colleagues, I think the example that we set with our work ethic and our ethics and that kind of thing. And then also just asking people their opinions. Like, I found that if I keep asking people, okay, what do you think about Islam? Have you ever known a Muslim, or what are your opinions on this? Or if you know, we read about these scandals in evangelical churches or in Catholic priesthood. Were you ever part of a Catholic school growing up, or did you know? So I just keep asking people their opinions, because actually I care what they think. But what happens, Mike, is eventually they turn around to me and say, "Well, David, you keep asking me what I think, but what do you think?
Where, that's right.
What is your do you have any religion or anything?" And bingo,
yep.
That is when they're ready to listen to me say, "Well, actually, yes."
That's beautiful. Yeah. Friends, I'm speaking with author Dr. David Gill about his book, Workplace Discipleship 101, A Primer. You can get the book if you go to David's website, WP313.org. WP313.org, Workplace 313, Tools and Resources for Transforming Work. That is the theme and the topic today. David, I like the way that you laid out your book. It's broken down into 3 sections. Part 1 is getting ready for our work. And in that section, there are 5 chapters that we're going to try and touch on during our conversation today. Section 2 is impacting our workplace. And that section also has 5 chapters. Part 3 is the final section, has 2 chapters, and there you discuss moving beyond our workplace. So in the first section, chapters 1 through 5, you list 5 steps that workplace disciples need to prepare themselves to do for effective presence. And that's the word that you use, effective presence. Now, these 5 things should be approached as life habits, though, and not merely as one-time activities. So there's a paradigm shift for folks. These should be life habits. So, David, could you tell our listeners what some of those things are, those 5 things to adopt as life habits?
Yeah, well, Mike, here's the thing is, the heart of the book really is that part 2 on trying to identify what exactly does it look like for our faith to be present in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. one aspect of that is evangelism. We can come back to the other aspects, but I think there are five basic aspects. But you know, it's like a game. It's like a sport in the way I think about it. That in that present section, there are five basic plays that we run on the field when we're at work. Mm-hmm. But you can't run the plays if you're not fit. If you're not in the right condition, you can't run the plays. Even if you can understand them, like I can look at a football play diagram from my high school football days, but I can't run it, you know, at age 75 because I'm not fit. Okay, so the first section is about getting fit. It's about the exercises we do in the gym, you could say, to get ready. And so I identify these, and, you know, they're really just based on lots of personal experience and lots of teaching of and coaching of workers in all different kinds of fields. And so I say the first thing is we need to commit. Just like when we become a Christian, we commit to Christ. We don't just take it for granted. So I'm saying, let's really make a commitment and say, Lord, I want to give you my work life or even my unemployed life, but I want to give it to you. I want to commit myself and not just be casual. Secondly, I learn how to pray, not just in emergencies, but pray proactively, like make it part of my daily and weekly prayer life, asking God in advance for help. Yes. Thirdly, we learn how to read the Bible, to listen to God. So we pray and talk to God, but we read the scripture and listen to God. How do we read our Bible? Asking God, teach us my workplace lessons for today, Lord. Teach us how to be salt and light at work. Fourth is how to have a partner. I feel like all too often we act like individualists, like we can do the Christian life on our own. And I think that's a big mistake. So Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. God said in creation, it's not good for man to dwell alone. There's just all kinds of evidence in the Bible that we should not try this on ourselves. So all by ourselves. So I urge that we find a partner or two who we can pray with about our work. So I'm saying not just our small group at church, but I'm saying something like some colleague who is a believer. And I actually think if we have two or three people and meet once a week or once every 2 weeks just to talk about our work and share our challenges and pray together, I think that's critical. And then the fifth step is what I call lifelong learning. You know, no big surprise there, but I just feel we should try to get better and better at our job so we really bring excellence to our work, but also get wiser by reading scripture, reading the Proverbs, you know, and getting wiser because we're deeply into the Word of God, but also reading more history and kind of branching out so we have more depth and more breadth to our knowledge and the mind that we bring to work. So those are the five basic preparation steps that I urge on people.
Yes, thank you, David, for that synopsis. So, friends, I think it's clear that as disciples of Jesus, followers of the Lord, that we should approach our work situations, not just you know, get up when the alarm clock goes off, get dressed, grab something to eat for lunch, and head off to work. But there's actually preparation. We should actually invest ourselves in what we're doing every day for all these years that we call our working adult lives. So some people are probably thinking, that's a lot of hard work. Well, it is hard work. Workplace discipleship is hard work. It's very focused. It can be intense, but it's certainly purposeful and intentional, isn't it, David?
Yeah, it is. And I do think, it adds some things on our life agenda, and we're already really busy people. But, you know, for example, in the prayer, in my chapter on prayer, I give several examples of how people have tried to create a more work-oriented prayer life. And I think, so I don't think it really means necessarily more prayer. Maybe it does if we're short on that, but it means focusing our prayer at various times. And it doesn't mean reading scripture more or as a kind of separate exercise, but rather as we're reading scripture, paying attention to the workplace lessons that God might want to teach us.
Yes.
So I don't really think we want to load people down with a lot more stuff to do in their life that would distract them from what's already on our plate. And I think, Mike, we need to look at it not just as an obligation. I mean, I think it is a kind of obligation that God wants to be the Lord of our work lives and yes. not just the Lord of our church lives. Okay. But I also look at it really fundamentally as an adventure. I just think this is, you know, this is the most exciting thing about my whole career. And really going back to when I was an undergraduate at Berkeley back in the 60s, when you remember there was a lot of chaos going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the most exciting part of it for me was here I am in the middle of all of this. And my Lord is Jesus Christ. What does that mean for what I'm studying and the career that I sometime am going to figure out what it's supposed to be? Yeah. It's an adventure. It's just the most exciting thing to go through life saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Your will be done today in my work and not just in my church life.
Amen. Amen. That's a very good approach. Folks, I'm talking with author Dr. David Gill, Workplace Discipleship 101, a primer. The book is available at wp313.org. I would encourage you to go out there and get the book. So section one, David just very succinctly covered. Chapter two, I just want to mention, folks, those of you who get the book, make sure you pay attention to this relationship building model for prayer. Discipleship can come through that exercise of prayer. Here's what I experienced over the years, just a personal anecdote, is that folks knew at work, at my workplace, they knew that if they needed prayer, that my door was always open. They could come to me and we would shut the door and have a brief time of prayer and counsel. Because, folks, you know this already. Your problems do not stop when you walk into your workplace. In fact, I would go so far as to say the situations and issues of life do impact powerfully your work performance and relationship with other coworkers. So, again, get the book, Workplace Discipleship 101. A lot of good information in it. Wisdom and discernment. Wisdom and discernment. Two valuable characteristics to possess, for sure. We do a lot of talking about those things as believers. And for the one who is listening and desires to develop both those characteristics, I recommend the book, Workplace Discipleship 101. So, Chapter 6 begins part 2 of your book. You alluded to that earlier. You've titled this section, Impacting Our Workplace. In Chapter 6, you discuss aligning ourselves, especially with God's work, in you and others in the workplace. And you mentioned that the purpose of our work is to advance God's work. Now, how about that, folks? Try that idea on. The purpose of our work is to advance God's work. So the question then, David, becomes how do we get behind God's work to fulfill his calling on us while at work?
Yeah, Mike, this is really, in many respects, the most important chapter, I think, in the whole book is this chapter I call alignment. Because this really is our philosophy of work in the sense that this is fundamentally what work is all about. Mm-hmm. You know, work is not fundamentally about making as much money for me as I can. You know, if we're That's a Christian, right. Yeah. our fundamental view of what work is about is we're using our energy and gifts and opportunities to advance the work that God is doing in the world wherever we are. And sometimes Amen. That's going to be a little bit difficult to figure out exactly. So my recommendation is that we think about what God is doing in the world. Now, there are a couple ways that the Bible can teach us about how to work. And one of them is by the direct teaching, the teaching of Scripture that will tell us not to be lazy, but to be, you know, good workers and do our work heartily to the Lord. There are a lot of places where the Bible instructs us on work, on honesty and diligence and these kinds of things. And, you know, there's more, Jesus had more to say about money, property, and wealth than he did about heaven and hell and things like that. So the Bible teaches us directly work lessons and Proverbs and the Gospels and Paul, all through cover to cover. But there's another way the Bible teaches us about work, and that is by teaching us what God's work is, and then teaching us that we're made in the image and likeness of God. So that same, those same characteristics of God as a worker are actually in our DNA as people made in the image and likeness of God. And actually, they're in the DNA of unbelievers as well, because all people are made in the image and likeness of God. So we find meaning and we find purpose when we do the work that God wants done in the world. So what is that work? Well, I think in the broadest sense, it's creation and redemption. But we can also broaden that out and say God is not just the creator and producer of good and beautiful things. God is also the sustainer. So he doesn't just create beautiful and good things and walk away, but he stands by them and sustains them and yes. upholds all things by the word of his power.
Yes.
And he doesn't just do that, you know, create good things and then sustain them, but things fall apart. So God fixes broken things. He heals Amen. The hurting and fixes relationships and reconciles and liberates those who've gotten, who've come into bondage of one type or another. So we look through at, and I have six basic ways of looking at the work of God where, and it's all just the basic theology and doctrine of the Christian life, you know, is what I've done here. But I've just said, how can we in our work be sustainers?
Yes.
How can we sustain creation, for example, by not trashing it in various ways in our company? But how can we sustain our colleagues when they're falling down? How can we be the kind of people who lift them up, like you were just saying about, you know, always being available to pray and encourage mm-hmm. your workers? Mm-hmm. So it's about finding ways to align our work. Now, you would say, well, of course, one thing is I might choose to be a contractor because there I can really, or an architect, I could really be doing work in the image of God, the creator, as I'm trying to create housing projects or things like that. But, you know, we don't all get that option. We don't all get to be doctors so we can, participate more directly in healing. But wherever we are, if we work for Amazon or we work in a warehouse or raising our kids, we can still be guided by those themes of trying to create good things, beautiful things that are pleasing to the eye as well as good for food or whatever it might be. So it's really important to absorb what does God do in the world start to finish in the Bible, and how can I do those kinds of things in my job, at my place on the assembly line or in the warehouse or in my law practice, whatever. Then I also talk about these other four ways that we're trying to be present, trying to let Jesus be Lord in the workplace. The second thing, beyond alignment, is to set a good personal example.
Yes.
So I set a personal example. I use the Beatitudes and some other scriptures to say, what would it look like if this was what guided who we are? If we started out by being people who are poor in spirit and humble and teachable, etc. And then I have a chapter on which I call light, which is not just about who I am, but what I say. This is what I say at work. Do I have any insights about work? Do I have insights about good leadership, about team building? And I believe we do. There's all kinds of insights about justice that we could share with our law practice. So my chapter there is about how can we share biblical insights about work at work. And then I have a chapter on how do we share our faith, which we talked about a little bit before. And then my final fifth chapter about our presence in the workplace is how can I be someone who helps overcome conflict when it arises in the workplace and wrongdoing when it happens? How do I overcome evil with good when I see that in my workplace, or I'm even asked to participate in it? And then my final section there, part three, is just about how do I take my skills that I acquire in my workplace out into my community? How do I take my skills to my church? Because I don't want to just do this at work. I mean, that's the work of God, but I want to take it back and bless my neighborhood and my church. And then finally, I have a chapter on rest, because if we don't have good rest, we're not going to have good work. So how do we rest, worship, and play? So that's the broad scheme of things. I think, Mike, you know, this applies to a stay-at-home parent. It applies just as much to a retired person. It applies just as much to somebody working in China or Afghanistan or Germany as it does Ohio or California. So, you know, I really tried to give an overall, it's a primer. You know, it's like the first lessons. I call it Workplace Discipleship 101. It's like the first course. And I just hope it'll help people to, you know, see that, get on, get involved in this great adventure.
Yes, yes, amen. So that is a fantastic overview of the book. Again, friends, I'm speaking with Dr. David Gill, Workplace Discipleship 101, a primer. The book is available at his website, WP for Workplace, WP313.org. You can get the book there. And if you're out there, you're listening to David talk about this, and you're an influencer in the place that you work, you have some type of input into the workplace environment and what you desire it to be and what your company desires it to be, I would really encourage you to get the book. And in chapter 8, and I just want to touch on this while we still have a few minutes. Chapter 8, David, you make what I consider to be a very important statement. You wrote this. This is a quote, friends. "Ethics cuts across all parts, all personnel, all processes in an organization," end quote. Now, the reason why this is such a good point is then proven by the 4 points that you note in that chapter. And I want to give those points to folks that have joined us today, just to give them some food for thought, especially if you are in a work situation where you can influence your corporate or company culture. So, first, good character and culture are more significant than good rules and decision-making formulas. Oh my, do we need to hear that today in the workplace. Good character and culture are more significant than good rules and decision-making formulas. Now, second, ethics and excellence are inextricably linked. Let me read that again. Ethics and excellence are inextricably linked. Third, practitioners should play large in any ethics design and implementation. I think that's somebody that's joined us today, David. Fourth and finally, good ethics usually benefits its practitioners. So it's about every employee in that company. It's about you as an influencer in your company and what you want the workplace to look like. So you ended the book fantastically. Take time for rest, family, and worship, re-energizing your body and your mind. That is so very important. David's book, again, folks, is Workplace Discipleship 101, a primer. His website is Workplace313, the website WP313.org. David, any closing thoughts or remarks you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I just say find some, you know, make it a part of your prayer life starting today. Mm. And I would say find somebody else in your church, in your family, in your circle of friends who might be interested in this, and say, you know, could we start? Would you be interested in getting together once a week? And I know right now with the COVID thing and all the craziness going on there, we can't get together, and our work is badly affected, you know, drastically affected by COVID. But, you know, these same principles can apply. We can still show caring if we're on a Zoom call, and we can detect somebody's unusually quiet. We can contact one of our colleagues afterward and say, "Hey, didn't hear much from you today. How are you doing, you know, in this stressful time? And could I pray for you? Or is there anything I could do? Could we get together for coffee in my backyard and sit 6 feet away?" You know, I mean, it's so all of these lessons are still, they still matter, you know. So I would just say, let's just say, "Lord, I want to make some progress." And you don't need to absorb all 12 steps in one day. It's a lifetime task to do these things. And, you know, at bottom, they're pretty simple. I give lots of illustrations from my own work as an ethics coach and professor, you know, but I try to give examples for other careers as well, but everybody's got to find their own way, you know, with Jesus as their Lord and with a couple friends to kind of work this thing out together. So, yeah, you can go to the website. That's great. And we have a monthly e-zine with, you know, a couple of book reviews and an insight. We have a monthly forum, free Zoom forum on one Saturday morning every month. It is on this coming April 24th. It's going to be on blue collar work, and it's featuring a guy who runs a gear shop manufacturing gears up in Wisconsin. Nice. It'd be a great guest for you sometime.
Yes.
But anyway, so people are certainly welcome. There are lots of things happening in Ohio. There's a great organization in Cincinnati called Work at Work on Purpose. But there are other things. And so, yeah, get involved. Come to my website, my friends out here in Oakland and the San Francisco Bay Area on our website. You can get the book, actually, yes, by clicking through the links at my website. But actually, you can get it at Amazon or Christian book distributors or, you know, any major book dealership. My middle initial is W, so you probably need to type in David W. Gill as well as the title of the book.
All right. Fantastic. Well, folks, that is a wrap for today. Again, Workplace Discipleship 101, a primer. You can find that on the website, wp313.org, or Amazon, or any book dealer, seller that you like to frequent. David, thank you so much for joining me today for this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
It's been an honor to be with you, Mike.
God bless you, brother. That's it, folks. We will see you next time. Thank you for joining me today for this episode. Soaring Eagle Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Transforming Word Ministries. You may send correspondence or support donations to Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Elida, E-L-I-D-A, Ohio 45807. Again, Dr. Mike Spaulding, P.O. Box 3007, Elida, E-L-I-D-A, Ohio 45807. You may also email me at the following email address, drmichaelspaulding@gmail.com. Again, drmichaelspaulding@gmail.com. Until next time, friends, may the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied to you.